When I'm at home, I usually like to give my zombie takeout an airing this time of night. Are you free?
Well, yes, Uncle John, are you free for the moment?
Well, yes, I am. What's up? Welcome to episode 274 of Zombie Takeout.
Zombie Takeout.
The B-Movie and Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And many of you are probably very confused by that opening.
No. They know what they're getting into.
If you're familiar with the series that the movie that we're reviewing this week is based on, you know exactly what we're referencing. But I don't know how many that would be.
I don't know either, but I think there are... I mean, come on, PBS was playing this thing for years.
That's true, that's true, yeah. That's
and
how we
I'm
both
sure
saw it.
Somebody in England's going to listen to this.
Well, yeah, we have a couple of British listeners, Robert Lawler, Richard Hawes. So yeah, we've got a couple of Brits listening. So hopefully they're familiar with it. Actually, no, I think Robert Lawler is Irish, but they've probably seen it. Apologies, I'm part Irish myself. Anyway.
That mistake was made by Uncle John.
Yes. The Irish one. Last name Maloney.
Day before St. Patrick's Day. Not that you guys give a fuck about that over there.
Or me. Won't get into that.
Yeah.
Anyway, before we get to this week's movie, we got some listeners submitted. This is from Tom Norman, writer and co-director of one of last week's movies, Gitchy. I messaged him on Facebook to let him know that the episode was up, and after he listened to it, he replied with... I just got a chance to listen to it. Loved it. The analysis and commentary was a lot of fun. I honestly can say that was probably one of the most entertaining podcast reviews we've had.
Nice!
I'll definitely be sure to share the link on my Facebook page. Oh, and to briefly answer one of the questions you guys had about why David didn't die. The film slightly hints to it, but never goes into detail. If you remember the last line Christopher said, that's the Harbinger, somehow, someway, you brought Stanley back, Gitchy.
Right.
He says it to David before he disappears into the night. The idea that I was trying to hit on was David is Gitchy's link to the real world. Kind of the same concept as a ghost using an oversensitive person as a gateway, which is the reason why Gitchy tortures David but won't kill him. He needs David. We have plans to expand on that more if we do another film or a feature. Only time will tell. I'll definitely keep you guys posted on any future projects. Thanks for the great review.
Man, I was expecting a new asshole. Well, that's a relief.
Just got that. Yeah, I think that was one of the better... Well, we've only had two responses from the directors of movies we've reviewed. That was definitely the more positive of the two.
Right. They can be sensitive. And who can blame them? It was their life for so long, you know?
Uh-huh. And... I had an idea, and I didn't mention this to Tom. I wanted to put it on the show. If they do a feature, which would be great, a running gag you could use is have the boyfriend go all Scott Evil and repeatedly say, you know, if we just kill him, the whole problem will be solved. And then have the girlfriend, you know, repeatedly saying, we're not killing my brother. And one more bit of listener submitted. This is from John Phillips, also on our Facebook page, in reference to Frankenhooker. He said, if you're wondering who the weatherman was, and he linked us to John Sakurl's IMDb page, I'm guessing in that pronunciation.
I did see this, yes.
Yeah, you commented on it.
One of his credits in the early 80s, late 70s, he was a guest, recurring guest on the old Captain Kangaroo show.
Really?
Yes. Wow. Probably where because I thought he was familiar, and I don't think I would have recognized him from any of the radio gigs he did, because, you know, we can't see him.
And he looked familiar in the sort of zombie vampire makeup.
Yes.
In the ghoul makeup, which he may have had on Captain Kangaroo. I don't know. It might have been a little too scary.
He was a wizard, I think.
Oh, okay. So he might have had some kind of makeup going. Yeah. And it would have been around the same time period. Or no, about a decade earlier for me. But still, he probably wouldn't have looked very different. All right, so on to this week's movie, which is from 1977, Are You Being Served? Of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary. Sponsored by Lifebell Inflatable Swimsuits. Just like water rings, only more fun.
And also brought to you by Fancy Knickers, when you want to rule Britannia.
Britannia rules the waves.
All right, so...
I don't know what that meant.
Yeah, what the hell? Anyway, we begin this with pretty much an episode of Are You Being Served?
Yeah, the first half hour is basically a mediocre episode of the series.
It's an episode of Are You Being Served minus the laugh track.
Yeah.
In addition, you got the soundtrack, which is the store music, kind of playing in the background, which only begins when the store opens. Before that, it's in total silence, which is kind of weird.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, and then when the store opens, then the music starts because they're piping the music into the store.
Hmm.
And yeah, it's exactly 29 minutes. I paused it for like to see when when they left the store to go on the trip. So right, it's they pretty much started with a regular episode, and it's just about them getting ready to go on this trip and who's going where and what the politics of it are. They're of course on the plane flying to Spain. And I thought they were going to do like a half hour of just the plane joke. I was very relieved to see they did not. They get out of the plane rather abruptly.
There were a couple of gags about the bathroom and whatnot, and that was that.
Yeah. And they're in Spain. The hotel, well, of
they're
course.
On an island off the coast of Spain. What was it? Costa Blanca?
Something like that. And the hotel accommodations are, of course, all messed up. They wind up in tents. And I think, although, what's his name?
Mr. Harmon. Harmon guy. Ends up with the penthouse.
Yeah, ends up with the VIP suite and everything on his own. And there's this bizarre subplot about rebels trying to take over the island. And
all kinds of French farce.
Yeah, yes, we get a nice French Three's Company farce. It's a full French farce because you get the chase scene. And the plots come together and you can say hilarity ensues.
That was a lot more concise than I was expecting this week, because
if you actually try
to describe what happens, it gets really convoluted.
I think the only thing I left out were the, what led to the French farce. The passing of notes.
Yes, yes.
That made it to the wrong people who assumed the wrong person was going to come into their tent for the evening. And then hilarity ensues.
Of course. It was kind of weird to see what was effectively an episode of Are You Being Served shot on film.
Yes.
And it was shot very cinematically.
Right.
Which I don't really think worked.
No.
Because normally on the series, it's a 70s British series, they have basically three cameras that are fairly locked down.
Yeah.
It's a very simple setup. And here they have
Norman Fell close-up on,
of course. And here they have a steady cam, and they're all, kind of weaving in and out of things, and the laugh track is gone, which really seemed to throw the timing off.
Well, was it just me, or did Peacock seem to have trouble keeping a straight face in some scenes?
Probably.
He definitely wasn't as rigid as he was in the normal show.
Yeah,
was, the character, too. I mean, like the character trying to be all amorous with...
Mrs. Slocum. Or no, Mrs. Slocum was trying to be amorous with him. He was trying to be amorous with Miss Brahms, yeah.
And the actor, too. Not, like, some jokes, just he seemed to crack a little bit, I thought.
Yeah, I caught that. Now, I actually have in my notes the three times when I actually laughed in the movie. There were only three. The chattering teeth going down the swim trunks.
Yes, that was...
That was good. Only because you knew what was coming.
Well, I think the whole, like, each person in turn describing it to the other was a really nice bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Silently, of course, just while Rumble is, plattering on, they're like, no, you reach down.
The bit where Mr. Humphreys walks to the end of the line to get the kiss at the hotel. And that was really just the way John Inman played it. That was great. And the bug in Miss Brahms' tent, which was only funny because it was so ridiculously fake.
Of course. It's this giant. I bet they tried like other things, but they were just too small. Like, no one's going to see that. Mm. So they're just like, fuck it. We're going to do a big stuffed animal.
Yeah, yeah. Now, just rolling back to the chattering teeth, they were kind of going off occasionally, like whenever somebody got close.
Yeah.
How does that work when those things are wind up?
I don't know.
I just had to nitpick something. Overall, I think the movie kind of made me wonder why I like the series so much.
Really? I mean, I was not expecting to enjoy this at all because, well, I went through hell trying to get the damn thing together.
Right, yeah.
And wound up just having to rent it. Finally, after like so many attempts to get it some way or another. And, you know, just wasting all last night, too. I wound up watching it tonight. But, I mean, the cast just has such great chemistry that, yeah. I mean, the material... I mean,
it was fun to watch. But
you know, as the hills, yeah. But, I mean, it was they do it so well. Yeah.
It was fun. You know, it was better than I was expecting. But, like I said, I can count the number of laughs on one hand, and I forgot one. The bit with the shake and the balloon.
Well, yeah, that was...
They have to measure a shake, meaning a Middle Eastern shake, his inseam, but they're not allowed to touch him. So they have this clever idea with a helium balloon and a tape measure.
Right.
That was pretty funny, especially when he ordered 100 balloons. Now, one of my titles was Stereotypes on Vacation. That I happened to think of that because of the shake. But another odd moment of that nature, again, this is the late 70s, so political correctness not a thing. Mr. Humphries is accosted by a street salesman when they get to the hotel, speaking Spanish but wearing a fez. Seemed odd.
Well, you want to talk about odd. They're in a hotel in Spain, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who is the manager of the hotel?
I didn't recognize him, but I do have a bit of trivia about him.
Oh my god, you did not recognize...
The name looks familiar, but no, I didn't recognize
Manuel him. From Fawlty Towers.
Oh, okay, that explains the trivia I have. I didn't realize it was the same actor. It's been a while since I've seen Fawlty Towers.
A German who plays a Spaniard, yeah, in Fawlty Towers,
mm-hmm,
you know, in the hotel, you know, the waiter that gets beaten around by John Cleese, mm-hmm, is now a Spanish hotel manager. Mm-hmm. He's German, by the way.
This trivia actually makes more sense now. Andrew Sachs was hired as Carlos, the Spanish manager of the Costa Blanca Don Bernardo Palace. Yes, I practiced that. To capitalize on his then current fame as Manuel in the British series Fawlty Towers, which was still being broadcast on television when this was made. I didn't realize it was the same actor because it's been ages since I've seen Fawlty Towers.
It looks like he's aged. It's only 3 years after Fawlty Towers went off. Not even, I don't think.
No, two years after Fawlty Towers started, according to my trivia. Fawlty Towers was still on the air when this was made.
Fawlty, they were rerunning it, but Fawlty Towers...
It started in 75, according to my trivia.
I think it went off in 75.
Yeah, okay, Wikipedia says... this was IMDb, said Fawlty Towers 75.
Because Cleese left Python in 73.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And then,
well, anyway, it's only a few years from his time on
Fawlty Towers. He looks so much older than he does in Fawlty Towers, though. Mm.
Yeah. And from what I recall.
They're practically the same time, then.
Mm. Now, the movie is actually based on a stage version of Are You Being Served that played at the Winter Garden in Blackpool. I had no idea that there was a stage version of Are You Being Served.
That is crazy. Ah, you're right. It went off at 79.
Okay, so it was currently airing.
Yeah.
Must have been a good makeup job for the hotel manager.
Or maybe they were making him up for Fawlty Towers. I don't know.
Yeah, either way. Now, there's a line in this episode, in this movie, that I could have swore was from an episode, because it's probably the only thing I remember from whenever the last time I saw the movie was, which was forever ago. Dear Sexy Knickers. Which I swore was from the series. I remember that line. I don't remember the last time I saw the movie. I don't remember anything from it before watching it tonight, but I remember Dear Sexy Knickers. Although the complimentary line, Dear Sexy Y-Fronts, did squick me a little bit for whatever reason. Oh, by the way, the strolling guitarist in the restaurant at the hotel, he doesn't have any lines. He doesn't have to be funny. But he was clearly not playing guitar. Couldn't they have just hired somebody who could actually play guitar?
I don't know.
If he had to be funny, then you hire an actor who doesn't necessarily play guitar, fine.
I thought there was going to be something up with him, you know, that there was going to be something.
Because they were making a big deal about him.
Right. Instead, I guess they just felt like they really wanted to try to convince you that they weren't on a sound stage, that they were in Spain.
Yeah, I guess. Actually, another bit of trivia, the scene at the airport was the only thing shot on location.
Right.
Like the only location shooting they've ever done. Everything else was on a stage. Now, I did think that the whole revolution subplot was a little too heavy for a sitcom.
I guess it was the only thing they could think of to go with it, you know?
It's in South America and it's the 70s, so I guess, it makes sense to kind of crowbar a revolution in there.
I don't think it was in South America.
Oh, no, it was off the coast of Spain, but it's still Spanish accents, so they have to cram a revolution in there. It was an island. I guess they were referencing Cuba. I don't know.
Well, I just assumed it was, a Basque thing.
Yeah. Also, I think most of the budget was probably spent on the bullet effects, because that was the only thing that was really cool.
I was kind of surprised.
Yeah. You have all these things sort of exploding, all these little explosions on the set from where bullets are supposedly hitting. Clearly the most expensive thing they did in the entire movie, possibly the entire series.
Oh, I love the bit they were doing with Lucas. He's in the cabinet. Yeah, cabinet's getting shot up. Like, oh my God, is he? And he comes out of the other cabinet. Oh,
and he's fine. And then that cabinet gets shot up, and he's like, "I'm free."
And I thought the revolutionary, I thought it was him doing a double role, but it wasn't. Like, no. Right? I thought it might have been.
I didn't see a resemblance at all.
I thought they just threw a beard on him and stuff. I had to look at the credits at the end to see that it was a different guy. It would have been hilarious if they did do the same guy.
Oh, speaking of explosions on the set, during rehearsals, the Lifebell inflatable swimsuit overfilled with air and burst, blowing John Inman's wig off.
They should have left that in.
It would have been nice to see that as an outtake. Yeah. But okay, it's a bra that explodes. How does it blow off a wig on his head?
I don't know.
I would definitely like to see how that works.
And who knew there was a resemblance? But there is.
I didn't see it, but okay. Inman and Sugman. Yeah. I have something about that. That's part of my What Have I Learned.
I never noticed that.
Yeah. Oh, one last bit of trivia. In a retrospective review, DVD Verdict's Michael Staley said the film is guilty of violating almost every law of comedy and film.
That's what I liked about it.
Yeah, I guess. I think I'm done with my notes.
I am as well.
All right, on to sequels and remakes, and there is quite a bit for this.
Yes.
First off, there was a sequel to the series. A sequel to the original series was produced in the early 90s, running for two series, Grace and Favor, as it was called in the UK, or Are You Being Served Again, as it was known in the US, and it saw the main characters set about running a country hotel after an unwise investment of their pension funds by the original young Mr. Grace. It's not yet clear if the chronology of the new upcoming series, which we'll talk about in a bit, which is set in 88, will respect the characters' 90s futures as established by the original writers or ignore them. And of course, as I mentioned, there is a new series in the works, or actually, there's a standalone special in the works. And then if that does well, there will be a series. And this week, very conveniently, a cast was announced.
The entire original cast is now dead, right?
Yes. Actually, I forgot to mention. That's why we're reviewing this. It's a tribute to the original cast. I want to say it was December or November. I think it was November. I think it was on the, when we talked about it on the Saving Christmas episode.
Yeah.
Nicholas Smith passed away. The last surviving member, Mr. Rumbold.
That's crazy.
Incidentally,
Absolutely crazy.
Incidentally, he was the same age as Trevor Bannister, who played Mr. Lucas.
Yeah, because, I mean, the show began with with Lucas and Roms being kind of
the kids, young hip partiers,
right, in with these older people, where just trying to make a living. Well, and of course, Humphreys being Humphreys,
right?
But
he pretty much was the inspiration for the ambiguously gay duo.
But he has to be like the first gay character.
Well, they never established it.
Well, right. I mean, he wasn't out. Well, I mean, this movie almost spelled it out entirely more than the show even.
Was soap before or after this?
Oh, it was after.
Billy Crystal gets credit for that.
Well, yeah, but he was out and everything.
Yeah, he was open. Mr. Humphreys, they always played it close to the vest. They always made it questionable.
But I mean, this movie, they really spelled it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they made it pretty clear.
Yeah. When the waitress was saying she was going to sleep in his bed or whatever, or sleep with him, he's on the phone with his mom, and you hear the mom say, "I know a change would do me some good."
Yeah, I like that one.
It's a great audience.
Now, you had some ideas for the cast of the new series or new special.
Yes.
And you wanted to compare them to the actual cast.
All right, so I'm kind of going in like a different order.
Okay.
We've kind of talked about one of this first one off air, but I believe the best Captain Peacock would be Jim Carter from Downton Abbey, the butler Carson, who is pretty much the same damn character, only with not as crazy people to work with.
I had suggested Rowan Atkinson before you mentioned him, but yeah, you're right. He would be better. Now, the actual actor playing him is, let's see if I can find it.
It's going to be someone I've never heard of before, I bet.
John Chalice. I've looked all of these people up. I don't know the names, and I don't think I know anything they've done.
Let me see. John Chalice?
Challis. Googling on the podcast. This is always entertaining.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, I don't think I'm ever going to recognize him any. I can't even look the guy up. I never mind who he is. So that's a disappointment. so much for an all-star cast that they were promising.
Oh, they might be stars in the UK. We don't know. They might all be like big hitters on the BBC.
And of course, for Slocum, this name has actually been bandied about, and I'm hoping this is true. Patricia Rutledge from Keeping Up Appearances. She may even be too old for it, actually, at this point, but it's Mrs. Slocum.
No, it's not her. It's Sherry Hewson, who I've seen. She's 65, looks quite a bit younger. I think is probably a little too attractive for Mrs. Slocum, personally.
Okay. what have these people done?
I'll put a link to, of course, the story where I found this on the blog. There are links in that to their filmographies, if you want to look them up.
Now, I think Brahms should be played by a Doctor Who companion.
Okay.
I'll go with Karen Gillian.
Oh, okay. As soon as you said that, I was thinking Jenna Coleman. But
I think Gillian's got more comedic skills.
She's actually being played by Nikki Wordley, who I did look up when I saw this, and it turns out that she's in her early 40s, which is odd for Mrs. Brahms. Wendy Richards, when she started on the series, was 29. She was actually playing, the right age.
Right. About.
Roughly. Unlike Jennifer Bannister.
Yeah.
Any other guesses? Oh, you've left off the most important one.
Well, let's see. I've got a few more to go. I would love to see, of course, Harmon, played by Mr. Richard Coyle.
Okay, they don't list Mr. Harmon here. They do.
Okay, good, good.
Sorry, Arthur Smith is playing Mr. Harmon.
I think Coyle's a bit young for it, but I don't think Harmon has to be old. I think he just has to be an asshole.
Right.
And I think Coyle could nail that.
Yeah.
I'm picking people for representing pretty much different shows and stuff.
Come to think of it, I have to disagree with you on Coyle, only because we're getting a new Doctor next year, and I want that to be Coyle.
I doubt he'd do it.
Stephen Moffat's gone now.
Yeah, but, I mean, getting him to commit for a long term...
Yeah, fair enough.
I've also heard we're not getting a new Doctor for a while.
Okay, Capaldi's staying. Well, that's not bad. I like Capaldi.
Yeah, that they want him to stay for at least until 18.
Oh, all right.
But, let's see... For Mr. Rumbold, Mr. Aid Edmonton from The Young Ones.
Okay, I'm not sure who that is. It's been too long.
He was the punk.
Oh, okay, okay. Let's see, I'm trying to find Rumble.
Yeah, I should see he's still alive. I think he is. He does look like Mr. Rumbold now, actually.
They don't have a Mr. Rumbold listed here. So we could get that.
And he's still alive, yes. he's actually going to be 60 next year. But yeah, he has the glasses and the bald head, too. Uh-huh. He doesn't have the ears, though. I would go with, for Mr. Granger, Tony Robinson.
Refresh my memory.
A.K.A. Baldrick from Blackadder.
Ah, yes, yes. He's actually being played by Roy Barraclough, I'm guessing, on that pronunciation.
Boy, they really didn't... you know, they wanted small-time people so they could actually have room for a series. Yeah. I'm just talking about going all out for one great episode with an all-star cast.
I know we have a couple of listeners in the UK. If these people are bigger names than we're giving them credit for, please let us know.
So far, though, in the States, they are batting zero. originally, I was thinking Hopkins for Mr. Grace, but I don't have anybody from Python, so I'm thinking Terry Jones.
Or Eric Idle, yeah.
I was thinking Terry Jones, more of the... I think they might even be too young for it, actually. Mr. Grace needs to be older, so...
Well, no, they're actually going in a different direction. Young Mr. Grace will be played by Matthew Horn, who is actually going to be playing the grandson of the original young Mr. Grace.
Not bad, but that would still... He would still be, like...
He would still be ancient. Older, but not ancient.
In fact, I would put Hopkins in and say he's the grandson of young Mr. Grace.
Well, actually, he... What? Yeah, he was in his 90s and his 70s.
All right, so I've saved... Yeah,
even his grandson would be older by now. Probably Hopkins would be about the right age.
I've saved my most controversial ones. Okay, for the
most obvious one, yeah. Most important cast member.
For Lewis, I would like to see Mr. Kit Harington.
Lewis?
Yes.
Who is a Lewis?
Trevor Bannister.
Oh, Lucas.
Lucas, yeah.
He's not listed.
They don't mention Lucas?
No. Now, bear in mind, Trevor Bannister wasn't with the series through its entire run. There was Mike Berry playing another Mr. something or other. I can't remember the character's name.
I don't remember that.
There was another junior in Gents, yeah. Nope. In the 80s, I think Mike Berry came in. And Mr. Bannister is, or Mr. Lucas is not mentioned here.
But yeah, I mean, Kit Harington, I saw that. What was it, 7 days in Hell? I think he can.
He would be good.
And he could pull it off. And you need some young people in this.
But by all accounts, at least judging by the trailers, he's still going to be a little busy. Which
what are you
I
talking about? He died in Game of Thrones.
He's in the trailers, and it looks like he's fairly alive.
Sorry to spoil it for everybody. I mean,
yeah, it's in the bloody trailer.
He did die. Now. This is going to be controversial.
Okay, this is the controversial one. All right, all right.
This is, I think Kit Harington's kind of controversial. Are you being served? But I think this one's really controversial.
He's age-appropriate, he's British, not that controversial.
I think instead of going for the obvious, you need somebody a bit butcher, but still have the same lines and script. Mr. Humphreys should be played by none other than Daniel Craig.
Oh god!
I have no idea if the man can do comedy or not.
That massive exhalation of air was actually a laugh. If it didn't sound that way,
but even if he can't play comedy, just have him play it as not a comedy. Play it straight, if you will.
Okay, before I get to the actual actor playing Mr. Humphreys,
that kind of straight, but straight.
I was actually thinking, and I just thought of this when you were talking about a controversial choice. Not a controversial choice, but I think it would be killer in the role. Eddie Izzard.
Right. I mean, you could go Izzard or Graham Norton.
Yeah. More obvious choices. Yeah. Craig would definitely be a change of pace.
But yes. That dude saying those lines.
Yeah. Yeah.
With, that much confidence. Uh-huh. I think that would be funny as hell.
Now, Mr. Humphreys is actually going to be played by Jason Watkins, There's a photo of him in the story. He looks like he could be John Inman's son.
Hmm.
Dead ringer. Now, there are two new characters, Miss Croft and Mr. Conway, and they'll be played by Georgie Porter and this is a total guess on pronunciation, Kaode Iwumi. I know nothing about these characters.
Sound familiar. Wait a minute.
You want to look them up?
Okay, sure.
I'll just send them over Skype.
All right.
Instead of trying to spell them out for you. And as you're looking those up, I'll talk for a bit, because this part I won't be editing out. So, like I said, I don't know any of these names. Nobody looked familiar.
She is a soap opera actress.
This is Georgie Porter?
Yes. Yeah.
Very attractive, from judging from the photo on the article. I initially thought she was playing Miss Brahms, which would have been good casting.
You know, when they say all-star casts, there should be at least, I don't know, a star in one of these.
Again, British listeners, let us know if any of these people are big on the BBC.
Yes, please.
And have you looked up the second one yet?
Yes, doesn't even have a picture in IMDb.
Okay.
There's a short called Choices.
But that's a newcomer.
And then Are You Being Served this year.
So a very young actor. Mr. Conway, I'm guessing, is going to be the new Mr. Lucas, come to think of it, if it's a young actor.
Probably.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Well, we don't know. We don't know who the character is. We don't know what the actor is like.
I don't know. The cast that I listed out and the cast that they gave, that's just disappointment.
Just because we had some very well-known, very popular in the U.S. actors in mind who we would have wanted to see in those roles.
Not all of them were popular in the U.S. I mean, come on. Not many Americans know who Richard Coyle and Adrian Edmonton are.
Wait, fair enough. More should know Richard Coyle.
And Adrian Edmonton, too.
All right, on to Brains.
On to Brains.
I liked it, but I can't really recommend it over the series. I'm going 3.5.
Yeah, the same. It's if you're a real fan of the show, it's a curiosity. It's just to be a completist. But if not, it's... If you want to see what the show is like or get
watch
into
the show, there are several episodes on YouTube. Are You Being Served? Search it on YouTube. You can find just about every episode, at least for the first couple of seasons. Can't recommend it highly enough.
I'm giving it 3.5, the movie as well, though.
All right. And what have we learned?
Be careful when you put your hand down someone's pants.
Mm-hmm. And I learned what the bastard son of Mr. Humphreys and Mrs. Slocum would look like. Surprisingly, not that much different from Mr. Humphreys. Mm. All right, so until next time, and we'll be reviewing Star Trek IV: The Voyage Home, continuing our deal from last year, if you remember that.
It's going to take forever for us to finish those.
Well, there's, what, two left?
They
did six, right?
Something like that.
Because we're not going to Generations.
True. Generations is where we cut it. So yeah, there's we're halfway through right now.
Oh, okay. Oh, right, I forgot about... Well, no... There's this, there's under five is the bad one. And then six is
Undiscovered Country.
Isn't that where it stops? Wasn't Generations next?
Yeah.
So we got two more. Well, yeah, still, okay, we haven't reviewed four yet. So, okay, right. Halfway.
We stopped halfway through, and it's been, what, how many months since the last time we reviewed?
It'll probably take us another year to get through all of these.
It's a shame, too, because 2, 3, and 4... go right into each other. They are a very tightly trilogy of movies.
Right. Until then, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course the episode itself, which you're already listening to. Links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and YouTube. Links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. Also, if you enjoy the show, spread the word. Give us a little word of mouth. Of course, we appreciate all of the listeners we have, but more would be better. And I think we've picked up a few, at least for last week. Tom was promoting it a bit, and that episode did quite a bit better than the other episodes recently.
Nice. Good.
So hopefully we'll retain some of them.
Maybe.
You'll also find the movie list, every movie we've reviewed so far, and every movie we're going to review, up through Cannibal Women in the Avocado Jungle of Death. I think I added a couple recently. We'll talk about that when we're done.
Oh, what are we doing next week?
Next week is Star Trek. You're thinking about the following week.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Carry on.
We'll get to that.
Oh, it's Snowpiercer.
Yes. More on that later. Things are still a little up in the air. Go get a calendar if you don't know what we're talking about.
We're going to do Snowpiercer in 2 weeks.
You'll also find the request form. If you've got a movie you'd like to hear us review, please leave it on the request form. And, of course, the recommendations list. It's Are You Being Served? I was kind of hopeful, but didn't think.
It was actually better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, same here, same here.
I was expecting to just be like, motherfucker, I had to pay $3 and go through all the trouble to get this fucking thing.
I actually had to debate myself on whether or not I wanted to recommend it, and then I realized, no, I just want to recommend the movie, the series, not the movie.
Yeah, the series. I mean, it's still, you know, still fun.
Oh, yeah. If you love the series and want to, like you said, be a completist, check out the movie.
Yeah.
You can also email us zombietakeout@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-DTO1 or for the alphanumerically challenged.
Snowpiercer.
414-368-9861. Pushing a little too hard, baby.
What?
Of course, we will always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee. And until next time, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you
Snowpiercer.
Are.
Snowpiercer.
You've all done very well.
When I'm at home, I usually like to give my zombie takeout an airing this time of night.